We began a study several weeks ago called Growing Up. Growing Up. And we're not talking about growing up in the natural chronologically, although we can make a comparison in the spiritual to that. And, you know, there's a lot of people naturally that are, you know, a man might be 40, 45 years old, but inside that 45-year-old body is a little boy. And, you know, there's women out there that are 50 years old or 60 years old, but inside that 60-year-old body is a little girl. And friends, it's the same way a lot of times in the spiritual realm. There's people out there in Bible studies and chapel services and churches that say they've been going to church for 20, 30, or 40 years, or they've been a Christian for 10, 20, 30, or 40 years, but really, they're still a toddler in their walk with Christ, in their walk with God. They're still an infant spiritually. Amen? It's all about me, myself, and I, and that's what a toddler is like, right, in the natural. A two-year-old in the natural is about me, myself, and I. It is the center of its own world. Would you agree? And there's a lot of people in the body of Christ that have been in the body of Christ, supposedly, for many years, that are still spiritual toddlers. But I've got some news for us today. God is wanting us to grow up spiritually. He's wanting us to go from spiritual toddlerhood to spiritual adulthood. He's wanting us to become spiritual adults. He's wanting us to mature spiritually in our walk with Christ, in our walk with Him. Is that good news? So the series is called Growing Up. Last week, to recap last week's message, we talked about fellowship. Godly fellowship as a way of growing up. Now, I want to pose this question to you, or this thought. Did you know that the people you fellowship with, spend a lot of time with, can either take you up spiritually, help you grow in your walk with God, or they can also take you down spiritually? They can diminish your walk with God. A lot of people don't think of it that way, but the people you hang out with, fellowship with, spend a lot of time with, can either help grow you spiritually or diminish you spiritually in your walk with God. Now, if you claim that you're serious about your walk with God, that you're serious about Christ, then what business do you have fellowshipping with those who are not serious about God? Let me say it again. If you claim that you're serious about your walk with God, about growing with God, growing up spiritually, growing in Christ, then what business do you have hanging out with, fellowshipping with, spending a lot of time with those who are not serious about God, who are not following Christ, who are stuck in the ways of the world? And if you feel comfortable with the world and the world's ways and the world's ways of thinking, which is sin, then you need to be concerned. You need to ask yourself, am I truly a follower of Christ or just a believer in Christ? There's a lot of people in there that in the world that believe in Christ, but the question is, are they followers of Christ? And we need to ask ourselves the same question. Do I just believe in Christ or am I a true follower of Christ? If you're a true follower of Christ, then you're going to be associating with, fellowshipping with those that are stronger than you spiritually. Amen? All right, today we're going to talk about another subject, another area, discipline, that will help us grow in our walk with God. It's called forgiveness. Just letting it go. Just letting it go. And you know, friends, as you go about your daily walk, as you go about your Christian walk in life, people are going to say and do things that don't quite sit right with you. Anybody ever been there? Somebody has done or said something that doesn't sit right with you. It irritates you on the inside and you take it as an offense. Maybe somebody jokes about your weight. Maybe you've been trying to lose weight. And somebody, a lost long friend or relative, comes across your path and says, man, it looks like you've gained some weight. And you've been trying to lose weight and you take it offensively. You know, or maybe somebody talks about your mom. We've probably been there at some point in the past, right, in school. Or maybe somebody, you've been trying to call somebody on the phone, and they never return your phone calls. They don't return your emails. Maybe you're in a time of need, and there's somebody out there that you know that can help you. You've told them about the need, but they refuse to help you in your emergency time of need. Now, maybe there's a negative person in your life that just won't stop. Keeps talking negatively over and over and over and just offends you by the things that they say. And maybe there's somebody out there who has slandered your character, that has talked behind your back, that has disreputed you with your employer, Maybe somebody out there who has put a guilt trip on you, has made you feel condemned concerning something in your life. And I'm here to tell you, friends, Jesus said it, that offenses will come in life. People are going to do and say things that don't sit right with you as you go about your daily life. And every day that you wake up, every day that you live, you're going to be in contact with at least one person. Would you agree? And that one person or persons may do and say things that you take offensively. So offenses will come. How many agree? Now, let's call them seeds of offenses. Seeds of offenses. And let's talk about the soil of your heart. If you allow that seed of offense to take a hold of the soil of your heart, and you nurture that seed of offense, what can it become? A seed of offense can become what? A root of bitterness. Now, I don't want a root of bitterness growing up on the inside of me. How about you? Anybody in here? And that root of bitterness, unchecked, can become a tree of hatred inside toward another person who has insulted you. I don't want a tree of hatred in me. How about you? Say, no way. In Jesus' name. All right, so let's talk about how we uproot or pull out any roots of bitterness in our hearts. How do you uproot bitterness from your heart? Anybody? He says serving God. Anybody else? Forgive him. Okay, so has anybody here ever weeded out a garden? Cleaned out a garden, maybe as a kid, maybe as an adult, maybe as a landscaping project. Cleaning the weeds out of the garden, right? Or out of the grass. A lot of times when you're cleaning up a garden, pulling out weeds, you use a tool called a hoe to pull out those weeds, right? Well, to uproot any roots of bitterness, we can use the tool called forgiveness. Forgiveness. So when I mention the word forgiveness to you, what comes to your mind? What does forgiveness mean to you? We're talking about growing up spiritually in our walk with God. What does the word forgiveness mean to you? Anybody? Anybody have any ideas? Say it again. Person that slandered you, you forgive them. That's good. Forgiveness is this. It's releasing a person of a debt that you feel that they owe you. Releasing a person of a debt that you feel that they owe you is forgiveness. Maybe you lent somebody money and they never paid you back. Release them. And you might be thinking to yourself today, man, that person really offended me in the past, a month ago, or 2 months ago, or 6 months ago, or maybe 20 years ago when you were younger, or maybe 45 years ago when you were just a little kid. Man, that person really insulted me. That person really offended me, and the least they owe me is an apology. And I'm sorry. But you know what? Forgiveness also includes releasing your offender of the apology you feel that they owe you. Let me say it again. Forgiveness also includes releasing your insulter of the apology that you feel that they owe you. Now, let me read you a quote here. Listen to this. A Scottish physician noted for his skill and piety died. And when his books were examined, several accounts were found with this written across them in red ink. Forgiven, too poor to pay. His wife, who was of a different disposition, said, these accounts must be paid. She therefore sued for the money. The judge asked her, is this your husband's handwriting in red ink? She replied in the affirmative. Then he said, there is not a tribunal in the land that can obtain the money where he has written forgiven. He wrote forgiven in red. Isn't that awesome? So when you forgive somebody, you completely release that person of the debt that they owed you, right? Just like this man, he had forgiven written over his debtors. So they were released. His wife could not collect the money. So same way with the blood of Christ, shed abroad in our hearts, upon our lives. We've been forgiven, right? Those sins have been completely washed away. God remembers them no longer. He brings them no longer back to our remembrance. They are gone in the sea of forgetfulness. Amen? And if God in Christ forgave us, then we should also forgive others. I watched a movie Friday night at a church here in Tulsa, Asbury. It was called Heaven's Rain. It was about an incident that occurred back in 1979. It was unbelievable. In Oklahoma, where there was a missionary couple to Brazil, happened to be home with their two children. And a couple of guys walked in saying that they needed to use the telephone. Well, they walked in and pretty much they took the life of the two missionaries, shot the two kids. They lived. It was just unbelievable. And the boy in the story was just, it's a true story. The boy was just eaten up with bitterness for years. And the murderers, the criminals, was there ready to be executed. And this boy, the son, met with him right before the execution. And this murderer, this accomplice to the crime, was asking for forgiveness and said, "I'm so sorry for killing your parents back in 1979. I was on speed. I was high. I was drugged up. I don't know why we did what we did, walked into the house and killed your parents and shot you two, but I am so sorry for what I did." And this boy, who's now an older boy in the story, this is back in like 93 now, some 14 years later, looks at the offender and says, "You know, my dad preached the message of forgiveness. He was a missionary to Brazil. And with everything on the inside of him, he said to the murderer, the accomplice in the crime, he said, 'You know what? I forgive you.' And when he did that, he was released on the inside. It was like a burden was taken off of his soul, off of his heart. And friend, I'm here to tell you that today, that when you're unforgiving and bitter towards an offender, it's like extra weight on your spiritual soul, extra baggage that you carry around. But when you release your offender, the one who has insulted you, it brings liberation and freedom to your spirit. Is that making sense? You got to watch this movie if you can get a hold of it. It's called Heaven's Rain. Heaven's Rain. And I mean, his parents, his mother and his father, were murdered right in front of his eyes. And he held on to this bitterness for 14 years, but he decided to release and forgive the accomplice to the crime. Isn't that awesome? If he can do it, he's a man just like us. Guess what, friends? We can do it as well. Amen? Amen. Now, remember this. Offenses are sure to come. I said this just a few minutes ago. Offenses are sure to come, but forgiveness is an option. Offenses are inevitable, is how I heard it one time. Offenses are inevitable, but forgiveness is an option. What does that mean, that forgiveness is an option? Anybody? You can release. You've got to choose to forgive. It's a choice, a decision that you make to forgive your insulter, your offender. You can't base your forgiveness, remember this, you cannot base your forgiveness on the other person's response. Maybe somebody joked about your mom, maybe they joked about your weight, maybe they were playing around with you concerning something, they didn't mean to offend you, and you bring it up to them, and they're like, "Man, I never meant to offend you. I was just playing with you. I was just joking with you." And they say nothing. And you're like, "Man, the least he could have given me was an I'm sorry, an apology." You know, you can't base your forgiveness on the other person's, on the offender's response. You got to release them on the inside, whether or not that person realized that they offended you. Is that making sense? All right. Sir? It's a choice.
Are you in that van over there?
No. Oh, no. It's a choice. Okay. I heard it recently from a minister who was quoting another, and he said this: "Unforgiveness is like smacking your lips at the feast and only eating yourself." Let me say that again. Think about it. Unforgiveness is like smacking your lips at a feast but only eating yourself. Put it another way. Unforgiveness and bitterness is like this. It's like drinking strychnine, which is poison, and expecting the other person to die. Unforgiveness is like drinking poison and expecting the person who insulted you to die. What am I trying to say about unforgiveness, about bitterness? That when you live with bitterness and unforgiveness on the inside, it doesn't affect negatively your offender. Who does it affect negatively? Only you. It eats you up on the inside. It can get you physically sick by living with bitterness on a consistent basis. Now, let's talk about the choice to forgive. That is a decision. Matthew chapter 18. If you got a Bible, you can turn there. If not, I'll read it to you. Matthew chapter 18. Then Peter came to Jesus, and Peter was one of the disciples. He often stuck his foot in his mouth. And he said to Jesus, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? And I bet Peter was thinking, man, this offender has offended me seven times. This is his eighth time to offend me. I've got the right to get even now. So Jesus, how many times should I forgive my offender? And how does Jesus respond? In a most Christ-like way. Verse 22 of Matthew 18. Jesus answered, I tell you not seven times, but 77 times. Another translation says 70 times 7. Jesus is not into numbers concerning forgiveness, right? What was Jesus trying to say to Peter? He was trying to say to Peter, Peter, you don't forgive a person 7 times or 8 times or 10 times, but you forgive your offender an unlimited number of times. In plain terms, what was Jesus saying to Peter? What was he saying to Peter? He was saying to Peter, Peter, you've got to live with an attitude and a lifestyle of forgiveness. Peter, you've got to know that before you even start the day, offenses will come. You've got to settle it in your heart that you will forgive and walk in forgiveness before the offenses even come. That's what Jesus was trying to tell Peter. You've got to walk and live with an attitude of forgiveness, knowing that those offenses will come that day. But in advance, just know that you're going to walk in an attitude of letting it go, of forgiving your offender. Now, let's continue reading on in Matthew chapter 18. Before we do, let me say this. Every time you forgive an offense, now listen to this. Every time you forgive an offense, it strengthens your love walk with others and with God. And it weakens your ability to get bitter. Think about that. Every time you forgive an offense, it strengthens your love walk with others and God and weakens your ability to get bitter. It helps you grow in God. It's liberating on the inside. But every time you decide not to forgive, every time you decide to hold on to bitterness, it weakens your love walk with God and it strengthens your ability to get bitter. Should I say it again? Every time you decide not to forgive an offense, it weakens your love walk with God and it strengthens your ability to get bitter. So I choose to forgive. How about you? Because I want my love walk with God and others to be strengthened. Amen? Now, Matthew chapter 18, we're going to continue on. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, the man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. Isn't that awesome? But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, which 100 denarii is like a few dollars, a day's worth of wages. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me, and I will pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt of a few dollars. When the other servants saw what happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant, then you wicked servant, he said, I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from the heart. Now listen, we have a king here, right? Who does this king represent in the parable? It represents God the Father. He had a servant who owed him millions of dollars. 10,000 talents was like millions of dollars. And because he couldn't pay it back, this king had mercy on him and forgave him the debt. That's awesome, isn't it? That's like God forgiving us of our sins. All right, now this servant who was forgiven a debt of millions of dollars found a fellow servant who owed him a few dollars. And he was merciless towards him. He couldn't forgive him. He had him thrown into prison until he could pay back the few dollars. Isn't that a shame? I mean, couldn't he just remember back just recently, the king forgave me millions of dollars? I mean, his mind just didn't go back, did it? He just couldn't remember the debt that he was forgiven of. So he throws his fellow servant into prison for like a $50 debt. What a shame, right? So the king found out about it. The king said, "You wicked servant, I cancel that huge debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had the same type of mercy on your fellow servant that I had on you?" In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. When the king found out that this servant, who was forgiven a debt of millions of dollars, could not forgive a fellow servant of a small debt, he put him in prison. He pulled back on his forgiveness, right? Turned him over to the jailers to be tormented. One translation says he turned him over to the torturers, to the tormentors, until he should pay back the millions of dollars that he originally owed him. Isn't that serious stuff, friends? Now, think about it this way. It says he turned him over to the tormentors until he could pay back that million-dollar debt. I'm here to tell you today, friends, that if you don't forgive your offender, the same could happen to you and to me. We could end up in a prison of torment. If somebody offended you in the past and offended you repeatedly as a child, as an adult, the last 6 months, and you keep playing in your mind over and over and over that offense, maybe they spoke negative words, they cussed at you, they beat you physically and beat you physically again, or emotionally abused you and did it again, and you keep playing in your mind the offense over and over and over again, you find yourself in a prison of torment. You become mentally tormented by the memory because you can't let go. You find yourself in a prison of depression and grief. Tormented and tormented and tormented because you're not able to forgive. Is that making sense? Because you think about the thing over and over and over again. Friends, don't imprison yourself by unforgiveness and bitterness. Release the debt, let the person go in Jesus' name. Amen? God is good, isn't he? All the time. And God will give you the strength. You might be wondering today, well, Jonathan, it is so tough to forgive offenses. I can't do it on my own. No, we can't do it on our own, friends. It's impossible to do. It's tough to do. But when you get weak and you can't forgive, say, God, I am trying to forgive my offender. And God, I pray that you give me the strength. And he will give you divine, supernatural empowerment to take the first step to forgive the person who hurt you. Just like in that movie, Heaven's Rain, it took all that boy had to forgive the person who helped murder his parents. Open the parachute of forgiveness over your offenders and save your life eternally. See, if we don't forgive our offenders, we're walking on dangerous ground eternally. Because what is our eternal salvation based on? What is it based on? The forgiveness of our sins by God through the work of Christ on Calvary 2,000 years ago, right? And our faith in Christ. So our eternal salvation is based upon God's forgiveness of our sins. But if we decide not to forgive our offender, then it says in the Word that God won't forgive us. And if God doesn't forgive us, we're walking on dangerous ground eternally. Amen? I mean, Jesus said it in the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6. Let me read it real quick. And this is what he says. He says, "For if you forgive men, 6:14, when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." What is he saying? That if you walk in forgiveness toward your offender, God the Father is walking in forgiveness toward you. But if you do not walk in forgiveness toward your insulter, neither will God the Father walk in forgiveness toward you. That's dangerous, friends, eternally. Would you agree? All right. Another issue of forgiveness is releasing the person of the debt that you feel that they owe you, but also releasing yourself of personal vengeance. Now, the first natural human reaction when somebody hurts you or offends you is to get even, right? I can't believe they said that about me or did that to me. I want to get even with them. I want to retaliate. But friends, forgiveness involves releasing yourself of retaliation against your offender. Vengeance is God's. God will repay. God remembers. He remembers what your offender did to you. God will take care of it. Don't take it into your own hands. Let God take care of it. Amen? God is in control of everything. And let's not forget where we came from. We committed offenses and sins against God. But God in Christ, according to Ephesians chapter 4, forgave us. God in Christ forgave us of our sins. How much more so? If we committed such great offenses against God and sins, and He forgave us, and we're imitators of God, then that means we also should forgive our offenders and insulters. Amen? Is that making sense? I'll just prove it to you. It's in Ephesians chapter 4. Real quick here. It says, verse 30. Ephesians 4:30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Be imitators, 5:1, of God. Be imitators of God in what way? Be imitators of God in the area of forgiveness. Just as God forgave us in Christ of our sins, let us forgive others. Remember this, we owed a debt that we could not pay, and Jesus Christ paid a debt that He did not owe. One last little story I'd like to read to you. In his book, You Can Win, Roger Campbell told of a woman who had been treated wrongly by her church and came to him for help. He was sympathetic to her plight, but he also realized she would not be delivered from her hurt feelings until she got a glimpse of the sufferings of Christ. Has anyone ever spat on you? Campbell asked. No, she replied, shocked by his question. They did on Jesus, he told her. Campbell went on to say, suddenly she saw my point. While she had certainly been mistreated by people who should have known better, she had not endured the pain and shame experienced by Christ in his suffering and death for her sins. My simple question changed her attitude about her persecutors, and she was able to forgive those who had snubbed and avoided her. Isn't that good? Whenever we want to walk in unforgiveness and bitterness towards another person's offense against us, remember what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. We owed a debt that we could not pay, and He paid a debt on the cross that He did not owe. Remember, every time you want to get bitter and unforgiving, remember what Jesus did for us. He forgave us. There is nothing that God holds against us. It is covered under the blood. If we sin and we ask for forgiveness, we confess our sins, God forgives us. And when we accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, all the sins up until that point that we committed were forgiven by God. Let's never forget that. Amen?
Amen.
Is that good news?
Good news.
So you want to grow with God? Decide to forgive and just let it go in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.